Welcome to Kingdom Perspective Broadcast, the teaching ministry of Dr. David Ogaga. We believe that this message is going to open up the seals and cause you to have a deeper revelation into the Word of God that will make you see beyond the letters in the Word. Here is Dr. David.
We're asking for wisdom, instruction, revelation, rebuke, exhortation from your word that will cause us, mighty and everlasting Father, to grow and get into the place of maturity as sons in your house. Thank you, Mother Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. All right, so we continue with our subject on hearing the voice of God. And again, the text remains the same, John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, they know me, I know them. And the voice of stranger they will not follow, they follow me. Simple word. And so, we'll be dealing with this, and it's been great, it's been helpful to a lot of people. We're getting a lot of feedback, even outside of this country. Let me give you one simple hearing of God's word, I mean the voice, and then, because what I intend to do with today, I touched this last week, which has to do with the disadvantages of not hearing the voice of God. By the time I'm done with this, and then I'm going to be touching the advantages of hearing the voice of God, then I'll give you example of five or six people who heard God, so that it becomes a template for you to work with. Amen. So, 1 Kings chapter 17, let's look at verse number 8. Alone. And this is Elijah. God speaking to Elijah. Remember that. And the word of the Lord came unto him, that was Elijah, now, saying, arise, go get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow, woman there, to sustain thee. And you know the story, how that this woman, in fact, they had nothing. It was to prepare the last meal for herself and the child, for them to eat and die, because there was famine in the land. You know, Jesus made reference to this woman, said she was not the only widow. Sometimes I always try to think, so why would it be that, even though she's not the only widow? Hallelujah. Now, but the point I need you to see here is, now go down a little bit. Go down a little bit, verse number 9. So he arose and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he came to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. Now you know the rest of the story. How by the time she finally responded to what the voice of God said, which has to do with number 9 of verse 9, she responded to the commandment and took care of Elijah, providing Elijah with meal. You realize that at the end of the day, even though she had nothing, the little she had multiplied, all the way down until the vessels were filled. Praise the living God. Now the point I want you to note is the verse 9. When you look at the story. Go back to verse 9. Arise, go then to Zarephath, who belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow. That's the one I want you to know, the word command. It simply means, help me now. It simply means the action of the woman was not just what she wanted to do or she desired to do, but there was an influence behind what she was doing. And that has to do with responding to the voice of God. So you see, hearing the voice of God is not necessarily all the time audible voice, but that kind of intuition within your spirit to do that which is right. Amen. So the woman didn't know exactly what she was doing, but she was responding to the voice of God. God was speaking behind the scene and asking her to do what she did, and it's to save her from the trouble that was on ground at that time. Famine was in the land. God was to save us. So sometimes you discover that when you hear the voice of God, it's actually meant to save you. It's meant to preserve your life. It's meant to sustain your life. It's meant to give you a future with a hope. When you can hear the voice, praise God. Are you listening to me? So this is very important. So sometimes when you're in a very bad situation, all you need to do is to pay close attention. And this is why when we're talking about sowing seed or doing good, and I mean, especially directed by God, so that people don't understand. Amen? If you remember the story, and then remember the woman that had no child, and then Elisha finally prayed and got a child. What produced the child? Not because the woman was fasting. But remember, when Elisha and Gehazi were about to leave the house, they said no. It was Gehazi that actually said it. This woman have no child. And Elisha had to say, this time next year you will have your child. Now it was not the prayer of the woman that produced the child or broke the spirit of barrenness. Did you understand that? It was the provision she made. She recognized that this is a man of God. So what's the next thing that she did? Told the husband, they got a place where Elisha can sleep. What was the next thing? He provided a table and a candle where the man can read. Anytime you're passing by, stay here. The generosity of that woman is what broke the spirit of barrenness, not prayer, not fasting. That's what people don't understand. They think everything you must get from God is what you fast for. This woman here that multiplied the oil, she wasn't going to fast. It was not by fasting or prayer, but listening to the voice and doing the needful. What is it? Providing for the man of God. That's all. The quickest way sometimes for breakthrough is not necessarily fasting and prayer or teleconferences, but just hearing the voice of God and listening to what he asks you to do and doing exactly what he asks you to do. See, do you see these two women? None of them went into long fast, you know, all those kind of things. Attend the prayer conferences, whatever. Am I against prayer conferences? No. Am I against fasting? Not exactly. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is sometimes you attend all of these meetings and nothing happens. But you can be in your own house and just receive instruction from God, and acting on those instructions, you get the result of what you're looking for. It saves you all of the energy. Hallelujah. Of religiosity that we find ourselves most times. Yesterday I was trying to get somebody at about 7 o'clock. He said, oh, we're in church. I'm wondering, you're in church at this time. When are you supposed to go to your office? 7 o'clock, you are in church. When are you supposed to go to your office? When are you supposed to resume your office? What are they doing in church at that time? And that was Monday. Monday, 7 o'clock, we are in church. I don't know what we're doing. Praise God. I just pray God will help our Christianity. Amen? This is where this subject is so vitally important. Have your personal relationship with God, giving you instruction and doing what he asks you to do. This woman that was delivered from this poverty situation was not in church. Was she in church? Hallelujah. Oh, David, you're saying we don't have need for church. That's not what I'm saying. Everything has to be done according to time schedule. Amen. Here is somebody that has the voice of God. I've commanded a widow. Woo! That is just all that was needed. Listening to the voice, listening to the commandment, acting according to the commandment. Poverty was broken instantly. Amen. He wasn't going to wait for somebody to lay hands on her. He wasn't going to wait for anointing oil in a bottle of Goya, whatever. No. Just the voice broke every spirit of poverty. The other woman, like I said before, just the voice. I perceive that this is a man of God. That's all he's passing here. That's all. And just told the husband, let's get a place where this man can only stay anytime he's passing by. And by the time Elisha was leaving, the spirit of barrenness was what? Broken. The voice. That's how powerful it is. If you can hear the voice, receive instruction and walk according to instructions. You see, if God is asking you to sow seed into people's life, don't think twice about that. Don't even consider those who think that, oh, come on, you're wasting your money. It's your life, it's not their life. It's your money, it's not their money. And he said, dealing between you and God, and nobody else. I gave you a picture some time ago when I was still over there. I was driving that day with my children in the car at about 7 p.m. We passed a church. And the Lord said, no, we passed here, got down to the house. And as I opened the door, I was walking in, the Lord said, go and sow seed to that bishop. I have no relationship with the guy. I had only 10,000 on me then. So I went to the room, I got an envelope. I took the 5,000 out of the 10,000, put in the envelope, and then I walked out, told the children, come out, we're going back to that church. And then we drove. By the time I was leaving, as a matter of fact, by the gate, he said, go back and take the rest money. I said, I have children to feed. Go back and take the rest money. I went back and collected the remaining 5,000, makes it 10,000. I came down and we drove. We go to the bishop's church there. I've never been there before. So we sat down. I was looking at how do I approach this bishop now? You know what it means now? Heavy fencing and all of that. Bodyguard. I don't know how to approach the guy now. So I stayed opposite. You know, after a while, somebody recognized me and came down there. Oh, Pastor, here, yes, I'm here. Okay. So we stayed for a while. I wasn't feeling anything because the atmosphere was not ministering to me. The thing they were doing. So I just told the guy that knew me there, who happened with me an usher, I said, please come forward. And he came to me and I said, can you please hand this over to the bishop? That's how I saw the seed there. But I know what happened after that. You understand what I mean? Yeah. If you can hear the voice, your life will never be the same. There must be a transformation. There must be a transformation. The voice of God carries power. You call liberating power. If only you can hear the voice. That's why Jesus always say, I do nothing except what I see the Father do. Remember that. He will even tell you, it's because of these people that I'm praying, otherwise I have no need to pray because you hear me always. So anytime he speaks a word, God answers, respond, because there's a relationship that of a father and his son. So listening to the voice is so powerful. Responding to the commandment of God is so powerful. It changes situations that you least expected. Anytime, anywhere. Praise God. All right, so that just about hearing the voice. So, like I said, we're dealing with when you don't hear the voice, what's the next thing that follows? I mentioned this last week. Number one, slavery, which is bondage. Romans chapter 8, verse number 5. Romans 8, verse number 5. Romans 8, 15. Hallelujah. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spiritual adoption whereby we cry, what? Abba, Father. Now, I told you this is directly connected to what happened in Exodus 19 and 20. When the thunder and lightning came on Mount Sinai, the children of Israel were afraid. And so they said, we don't want you to talk to us. Let Moses talk to us. Talk to Moses, let him talk to us. So they enter into the realm of slavery, no personal relationship. You see, the last one said, the spirit is given to the whereby you cry, what? Abba, Father. Now they can't cry Father anymore, but they have to approach Moses for Moses to talk to God on their behalf. So they indirectly subjected themselves to one another called the spirit of slavery. Now you can understand why Paul would write to Timothy, though, because he was a young man, but he said the same thing: God has not given us the spirit of fear. Is that okay? Praise God. So when you can approach your father, you are intimidated because you can approach your father. Why? Because you don't hear him. You don't have any personal relationship with him. Praise God. We cry about Father because God is our Father. Look at verse 16. 16. The Spirit is a bearer witness with our spirit that we are what? The children of God. And no child is supposed to be afraid of the Father. No child is supposed to be afraid. Servant can be afraid. They stay far away until they are beckoned to come. Slaves cannot just approach the king just like that. So when you don't hear God, you don't have the personal relationship with God, you are like a slave even in your father's house. You can access his presence to talk with him. The Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace. That is missing when you don't hear the voice of God. You can approach him, no faith. Hallelujah. So when you begin to accept the spirit of bondage, you come into this a place of slavery. You come into the place of inability to access the throne of grace to have your need met in times of need. That's how bad it is when you don't hear God. Anytime, anywhere, you are a slave. Even though you are in the house, you can approach Father because you can't cry about Father. Why? Because similarly, the spirit of sonship is not working in your life. Because here the Bible says, by reason of that spirit, we are the children of God. And every child has access to the Father. Every child recognizes the voice of the Father. Every child obeys the instructions of the Father. Hallelujah. Are we here? Number two, when you don't hear the voice of God, you walk in presumption. Let me look at this. Ezekiel 14, 1 to 7. Bible says, then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me. Son of man, these men have set up the idols in their heart and pulled the assembly block of their iniquity before their face. Shall I be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, thus hear the Lord God, every man of this house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the assembly block of his iniquity before his face, and come unto the prophet, and I the Lord will answer him that cometh according to his multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourself from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For everyone of the house of Israel, or out of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separated himself from me, and set up his idols in his heart, and put in the assembly block of iniquity before his face, and coming to a prophet to inquire of me concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. How's he going to answer him? I will set my face against that man, and I will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of the people, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Amen. Idols of the heart are perceived opinions that leads to deceptions and falsehood. Idols of the heart, perceived opinions, preconceived ideas that leads to deceptions and falsehood. In that instant, God won't answer your prayer. God won't talk to you. One of the reasons you don't hear God is because of the idols of the heart, the way your heart is, the disposition of your heart. It makes you never to hear God. And God said, if they come to me in that way, I'm going to answer them, and I'm going to deal with them. Praise the living God. I'll make them a proverb in the land. I need you to get this because it's very important. What's your thought pattern towards people? What's your thought pattern? What are the things you are cherishing so strongly that God is not involved in? You cut yourself off from God. You separate yourself from God by reason of the idols that are in the heart. God said, this man have separated themselves from me because of the idols of their heart. And yet they want to inquire of me. And he said, should I answer these people? You mean they're trying to find out from me or make inquiries? How can I answer these people with these idols that are in their hearts? That means they can hear God. That means even what the prophet is going to say is not the truth. God is going to deceive them through the prophet. Exactly what he did to Ahab. Idols of the heart. It's one of the reasons why we don't hear God. Our preconceived opinions of people, preconceived opinion about situation without facts. When we pass judgment, give me Isaiah 11. Let's look at 2 and 3. The Spirit of the Lord. Okay, let's go to verse 1. Let's look at that. There's something I need to show you. And there come forth a rod, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel, and the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Verse 3. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge, listen to this, after the sight of his eyes, neither reproved after the hearing of his ears. Get this to me from a simpler translation. Go verse 3. He will give justice to the poor and make fair decisions. Oh, come on, what are you doing? Keep it for me. Verse 3. He will delight in obeying the Lord. He will not judge by appearance, nor make a decision based on hearsay. Did you get that? And that is what we call righteous judgment. Most of all, we don't know how to pass righteous judgment because of hearsay, what people say, preconceived opinion about people. We condemn them without having heard from them. Jesus didn't judge that way. Are you there with me? Are we together? This is very important. So, when you have preconceived opinions about people, about situation, you're blocking yourself from the flow of God's Spirit as His Son. This is Jesus Christ. He won't take decisions based on hearsay. He won't condemn anybody based on what he's being told. That is Jesus. And that's how the work of the Holy Spirit does within our spirit. What about if I have to tell you this? God doesn't actually condemn people because of the act. He condemns people because of the motive. Hear this well. God does not. That is why you see, there were a lot of people that Jesus forgave. It was not that they didn't ever commit the act, not because they were walking under grace. But he actually tried to find out the reason they did exactly what they did. The motive is what matters. That's why we tell you, when a man lusts after a woman but men looking at her, he has committed adultery in his heart. It is not the look, it is not the sleeping with the woman, no. It is the motive, the thoughts. So, one of the things that shields you away from God is the idols of the heart. And yet Jesus will not judge by hearsay or by appearance. Can you get it now? Good. He's not going to look at you and judge you or what people say about you. No, he's going to look at your heart. But motive, why are you doing what you're doing? That's where he brings judgment. And that's how he wants us to work. Now, if you're not working in this dimension, you shut yourself off from the influence of the Spirit that makes us to cry, what? Abba, Father. And even in your prayer, he will not respond to it. So, idols of the heart, which has to do with preconceived opinion, leads to deception and falsehood. Get it right. It leads you away from truth to falsehood. You become deceived without knowing that you are being deceived. Hallelujah. You might be acting on certain things, thinking that, oh man, maybe it's your right or something like that. But you may not understand that God is looking at your motive for doing whatever thing you were doing. And that's why you don't hear God. In the midst of that, if God is speaking, you won't hear. Remember the case of Balaam? The motive was wrong. How many of you understand that? Because Balak said, I'm going to promote you. I'm going to give you a lot of money. I'm going to give you properties. And so, if he has to go, the motive now was wrong. Now he went to God and said, okay, you wait, let me go to God. And God said, okay, you can go. I know you know the story, right? Very good. Motive was wrong. Praise the living God. Are we here? So, like I said, the number two reasons why you don't hear God is idols of the heart. At that state, no matter how long you fast and pray, you can hear God. Because you separated yourself from God in your thought patterns. Amen. And most times God can tell you, go ahead. You can even hear voices telling you, go ahead. Keep on doing what you're doing. But that's because God, like he said for the prophet, I'm going to answer them according to the idols of their heart. Meaning, that thing which they want to do, I'm going to ask them to go and do it. Did you get it? Yeah, so you could be doing certain things, they are wrong, but you are going on. Why? Because you are not hearing from God. The Spirit must have told you, this line you are following is not my way. But you continue on it because either you are angry or something like that, God will say, go ahead. So sometimes it has to do with, you come to a state where God will leave you to your own self. It will just leave you to yourself. Because most times, it is not how loud the voice of God is that enables you to hear God, like the woman we discussed just now. There was no specific voice from anywhere from the cloud. Amen? And that's why, do you remember the case of Elijah praying, thundering, lightning, earthquake, whatever? But there was no voice until when everywhere was calm, there was a still, small voice. Did you understand that? So, the thundering, the lightning, and all of the religious thing we do sometimes is not what produces the voice of God. You can just be walking in the street and God is speaking to you. Amen. I read a picture, a story of a man, and he was always thinking about, when I hear God, when God speaks to me. And so one day, he was driving back home somehow, and then he has a lady, he said, Branch, that's tall, and buy milk, like a jug of milk or something like that. And he said, well, for what about this? The voice told, said, take to the right turn, get to that store, get milk. He drove past, and then the voice came again, so he had to go back again to the store, got milk, started driving. Driving back home, he was saying, but what do I need of milk for, something like that. And then the next thing, as he was driving, the Lord also instructed him to take a turn. He followed the turn. It was already getting to evening time. He kept on driving, and they got to a point, and he said, stop. And then he stopped. He said, look across the road. Look across the road. There's a door there. Everybody was already like going to bed. He said, go knock on the door, give them the milk. That's why I asked you to buy the milk. And the man said, come on. This time of the night, what would they think about me? So he went there, knocked on the door, and in split second, the man opened the door on jeans and said, what do you want? He said, no, said, please take. And he looked at himself. Said, the Lord said, I should give this to you. And the man jumped, the woman jumped. Their baby needed milk for food. They had nothing in the house at that time. And he said, you wanted to hear my voice. This is why I speak to people. Hallelujah. Praise God. But you see, you can have so much idols in your heart that God cannot give you such instructions. Because you're only thinking about yourself. Amen? Praise God. All right. So number three. Not hearing the voice of God equals losing your authority. Disadvantages of hearing the voice of God is what I'm saying. Not hearing equals not obeying, and that makes you lose your authority. Not hearing the voice. I'm saying disadvantage of not hearing the voice. Right? Not hearing equals not obeying. And that means losing your authority. Example is King Saul. You know that? He was a king in Israel, right? King in Israel, for that matter. But remember, when the Lord instructed him to destroy the Amalekites, he never did. That means he never heard the voice of God. Because Jesus said in John 14, if you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. The proof of your love for Jesus is you obeying whatever thing he asks you to do. And so God is saying, destroy the Amalekites. He went there and saved some. He said, am I so interested in sacrifices? To obey is better than sacrifice. Meaning you never heard God. So what's the next thing that happened? He lost his authority as a king. When you don't hear God, you lose your dominion. Hallelujah. You lose the power that God gives to you. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the voice of God or the word of God. Anytime he instructs you to do anything, remember what we dealt with on Sunday when God spoke to Prophet Ezekiel, speak to the bones. Remember that? Speak to the wind. What happened? Everything was coming together. That was authority. So where was authority coming from? The instruction the Father was given. So when you don't hear the voice of God, you lose your authority. You'll be living on presumptuous life, living on a guessing situation, and you'll be wondering if God is still with you. Praise God. So King Saul lost everything in terms of his kingship. Why? Disobedient, not hearing the voice of God. You lose your authority if you don't hear God. Even the authority of sonship, you miss it when you don't hear God. And this is very important, that you appreciate what I'm sharing with you this evening. One of the things that retains and keeps you strong in the faith and alive is you hearing what? The voice of God. So when you don't hear God, you lose your authority. How many of you remember that even Saul died because God was no longer speaking to him. Remember that? That's why he went to the queen of, the king, the witch of Endom. He wasn't hearing the voice anymore. So, but he needed to hear God. So he had to go and consult a wizard or a witch, whichever the case may be. And let me just interject this here, because we have a lot of teachings and sayings along that line. You know, the person that came out was not Samuel. You got to understand that. You said, David, why do you believe this? Very simple. Samuel was a prophet of God. Samuel was in the kingdom of God. No witch has power or access to cross from the realm of darkness to the realm of light to invoke a spirit from the realm of God. Practically impossible. So who came out, you will say? A familiar spirit. Somebody that have copied. How many of you understand the Bible says will be translated from the power of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son? How do you expect a witch to cross over to come and pick a prophet of God? Practically impossible. It's not done anywhere. Even Lazarus and rich man, remember what Abraham said. Between you and me, there's a great gulf fixed that no man can cross from the other side to this side. How many of you remember that? So how do you expect a witch to cross into God's kingdom in the glory of his presence and then pick Samuel and say, you come, they are looking for you? That's impossible. So the person that showed up was not about the familiar spirit. Familiar spirit is some, you see, every one of you, it's been duplicated by negative spirit. And you can be used to deceive your loved ones. If they don't understand, that's why hearing the voice of God is important. You should be able to know the voice of your people. You can recognize when your husband speaks and know, this is my husband, this is my wife, even if you're dreaming. Do you understand what I'm saying? Praise God. So we have people that can use this kind of spirit. The source, you know, studied you, that they can literally manifest to your loved ones to deceive them that you are the one speaking to them or sending them messages. They are on negative spirit, familiar spirit. So that was not Samuel. You got to take that from me. Because it's not possible for a darkness, I mean from the realm of darkness to come into the realm of light to pick up a son of God, a prophet for that matter, to come out and respond. Forget about that. That story. Amen? So it's a familiar spirit. And that's why not every voice you hear, you have to design. That's why I have to have the spirit of discernment to know who is actually talking. So when you hear Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, they know me, and the voice of strangers they will not hear. You have to understand that. It's very simple. It simply means strangers also speak. But because you know him, you can know this is not the voice. You understand that? Very simple. So the man that came out there was not Samuel. It was a familiar spirit and was meant for Saul to be destroyed. Just like the same thing that happened to Ahab. The spirit said, I will come from the left hand side of God. How many of you remember that? And I will become a deceiving spirit in the mouth of his prophet so that Ahab will deceive and go to war. 1 Kings 22. You remember that? And then he went to war, and what happened? He was killed. So the purpose of that witch bringing that woman, that man up, that familiar spirit, to speak to Saul, was to cause Saul to go to war and be destroyed. That's all. Amen? So, what am I saying? Saul lose his authority as a king. Why? Because he was no longer hearing from God. He has gone to consult the witch of Endom. Amen? May that not be our portion. Number four. Not hearing from God leads you to receiving an evil spirit from the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 14. This is Saul again, remember that. But the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. He wasn't hearing from God again, so what happened? An evil spirit took possession. Every spirit walk with a spirit. Hallelujah. Come on, are you hearing what I'm saying now? And this is very important. You got to understand this. Once you stop hearing God, another spirit takes over. I think the book of Romans chapter 2. Was it chapter 1 now? Takes over the reprobate mind. Give them over to a reprobate mind. Remember that? Praise the Lord. Amen. Good. Once you stop hearing from God, another spirit takes possession of your lives. And that's exactly what happens in the case of Saul. An evil spirit took over his life. Why? Because he was no longer hearing from God. I'm sharing with you the disadvantages of not hearing from God. Praise the living God. Are you there with me? Very, very important. So, the Bible talks about those who will not worship God. You know, he gave them over to the spirit of a reprobate mind that he might defile themselves. Reprobate mind, confused mind. Mind that can no longer relate to the truth of God's word. Hallelujah. So, it leads you to receiving an evil spirit from the Lord. And most often, this evil spirit leads you to destruction. Because you can't hear God anymore. God is speaking, you're not hearing. You're deaf to the voice of God. Another spirit is now at work. And sometimes you end up rejoicing in this negative spirit unknown to you. And this negative spirit that was now in the life of Saul is what finally led him to the witch of Endom. Are you following that? Praise God. Number 5. Not hearing the voice of God leads you to the place of immaturity. You are tossed to and fro. You are not stable in your walk with God. Ephesians 4. Look at verse 11, 12, and then we look at, okay, say 13. 12, 13. Ephesians 4, 12, 13. It talks about a fivefold spirit, fivefold ministry, like apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teachers. So for the perfecting of the saint, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we are come at the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What's the next thing? That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to do what? To deceive. When you don't hear God, you are easily deceived. You are tossed to and fro. See, even the Berean Christian, the book of Acts, the Bible tells us, after Paul had finished teaching, they go search the scriptures whether the things that Paul taught them be so. It's not everything. That's what the Bible says in the book of 1 John, and it says, believe not all spirit, try them if they be of God. And it says, the anointing in you will teach you all things, that you will not be deceived by any man. What that really means is, it doesn't let no man teach you for the anointing in you. No, Paul wasn't saying you don't listen to people preach or teach. No. If so, why was he teaching? Because the book he wrote, or the letter he wrote, was teaching. So when he said, let no man teach you, he's not saying, oh, come on, I have the Holy Ghost. I don't listen to anybody. Oh, no, I don't need any pastor. I don't need to go to church. I have the Holy Spirit. That's not what John was talking about. As at that time, there were people called Gnostics. Doctrine of Gnosticism, which says that Jesus couldn't be God, because if he's God, he couldn't be man, because man is matter and matter is evil. Well, that was their doctrine, that God is spirit. So therefore, Jesus couldn't have been God as long as he possessed human body, which is made of matter. And matter is evil, and God is not evil. That's their thinking. So they call it Gnosticism. And so John was saying, don't let these people come deceive you. The Holy Spirit in you will bear witness with your spirit whether what they are saying is truth or not. That's what he was trying to tell them. He wasn't saying no man shall teach you because you have the Holy Spirit. That's not what he was saying. What he's saying is, if anybody is teaching you, it will bear witness with the spirit in you to say, well, what this man is saying is the truth. That's all. So what he meant to tell them was, if the people are teaching you that Christ is not God, the Holy Spirit in you should be able to tell you or convince you that what these people are teaching is error. Is that okay? Very good. So here we see those who are tossed to and fro are those who don't hear God. They are moved about by every form of teaching, every form of doctrine. They really can't design if this is truth or not. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 verse 1. Let me see. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit whether they are of God. For many false prophets are gone out into the world. Try the spirit. How are you going to try the spirit? First, you must know the word of God, and then you must have the Holy Spirit within you. Amen? For we have the three that bore witness on the earth. The word, the blood, and the water. It has to do with the word of God. Amen. Believe not is an instruction. Every spirit. You can't just be moved by whether the person performs miracles or not. You can't just be moved by the miracles. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out where? Into the world. What's the next thing? Here we know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus is come in the flesh is of God. What it means to say is, Jesus is God. Any spirit that says Jesus is not God, is not of God. It's a prophet, all right, but it's not speaking the mind of God. You can know when somebody is in error. How? You have the voice of God. You have the spirit of God. You have the word of God. So he who can't hear the voice of God is tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You are prone to believing everything you hear. Praise God. Amen. You are prone to believe everything you hear. So you are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Praise the living God. Okay, let's end up the scripture by reading. Oh, this is a long one. I was thinking. Let me just read it so that we can start up next time from. Time is up here. But go to the book of Romans. Romans 10, verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe it of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring out tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? Now this is talking about Israel. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. So, hearing produces faith. True faith is a result of what you believe. Hearing produces faith. And true faith is what you believe. Amen? There are a lot of faiths in the world today. Like you have the Baha'i faith, Hinduism, all of those things. Several faiths. So, what you believe becomes your faith. Right? Now, it takes hearing for you to have faith. And it takes faith to believe in what you believe in. That is why, remember, I shared something here with us that there is, everybody is a believer. How many of you understand that? Yeah. Even when you say that there is no God, it's because you believe that there is no God. That means you have faith. You are a believer. And because somebody told you that there is no God. I remember a beloved uncle, if I may use the word, that passed into glory, Ty Solarin, Mayflower School, at a Kennekitty or whatever. We say it's an atheist, you know, I think influenced with communists and all of those things. Well, but the day he was to die, he called on Jesus. Because when you're living this life into the other world, you see things that you ordinarily you have never seen before. A new world is open to you on the other side. He called on Jesus before he passed on. Finally, he met face to face with the Lord, whom he never believed while he was alive. That's just the way it is. Amen. Praise the living God. That's why sometimes when women are giving birth to children and they can start crying. There are several reasons why I believe the children have to cry. They let one wall into another wall. Into this wall, they don't understand what is here. But while they were in the mother's womb, they were in fellowship. In the spirit realm, their eyes were closed, but they were in another world, seeing things the way. But now they were born into this world. Once they come out of the woman, what kind of life is this? It's like saying, I've come now for suffering. While I was there, I was enjoying myself. Mother feeds me. I just eat and just roll. You understand that? Maybe listen to some music that my mother is listening to. But now, what is this? So, now I'm going to walk before I eat. It's enough to cry. Praise God, somebody. So, when you are born into another world, when you are dying, you are entering another world. When you are born here, you enter another world. Do you understand what I'm saying here? That's why to be born again. That's why the scripture tells you, except you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You understand it now? Yes. It takes a new birth to see the kingdom. Just like a baby is born, begin to see the world the way I've never seen it before. Maybe open the eye, close it again. Don't want to see this world. I mean, you notice that with children? They just open the eye, look at you, and they close the eye again. What's your problem? No. They already envisaging the trouble all over the place. It's like saying, can I get back to my mother's womb? Praise God. You see what I mean? So, except you are born again of the Spirit, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You can experience the new life. For you who is born again and the man that is not born again, both of you are living in two different worlds. So though you are in this world, you are not of this world. Amen? So what am I saying? If you are truly born of the Spirit, and you're hearing the voice of God, you cannot be tossed to and fro. And it takes hearing to have what? To have faith. Hallelujah. I'm going to stop there. Number five alone. There are several other ones I can share with you about the issue of not hearing the voice of God and the disadvantages. But you can take this up and then go and study up yourself. You'll be able to see how terrible it is not to hear the voice of God, especially losing your dominion. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so very much for finding time to be in Bible studies.
Thank you for listening to Dr. David Ogaga. We know you have been blessed by this station. You can share this message with your friends and loved ones. For more information, inquiries, and free downloads, please visit www.davidogaga.org or you can send us an email admin@gkai.net. God bless you.